ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट नंबर 27 टू टेक्स्ट 46। विल बी रिसाइटिंग द टेक्स्ट नंबर 27। राजा यज्ञसदनं प्रविष्टो निशितर्षितः दृष्ट्वा शयानान् विप्रांस्तान् पपौ मन्त्रजलं स्वयम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति विदान स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Being thirsty one night, the king entered the arena of sacrifice, and when he saw all the brahmanas lying down, he personally drank the sanctified water meant to be drunk by his wife. Purport: Yajnas performed by brahmanas according to Vedic ritualistic ceremonies are so potent that the sanctifying of water by Vedic mantras can bring about the desired result. In this instance, the Brahmanas sanctified the water so that the king's wife might drink it in the yajna. But by providence, the king himself went there at night and, being thirsty, drank the water. Text 28. When the Brahmanas got up from bed and saw the water pot empty, they inquired who had done this work of drinking the water meant for begetting a child. Text 29, where ultimately, after finding out what has happened, who has done it, the Brahmanas, they conclude. But the Brahmanas came to understand that the king, inspired by the supreme controller, had drunk the water. They all exclaimed, "Alas, the power of providence is real power. No one can counteract the power of supreme." In this way, they offered their respectful obeisances unto the Lord. Text 30, birth of Mandhata. Thereafter, in due course of time, a son with all good symptoms of a powerful king came forth from the lower right side of King Yuvanashva's abdomen. The baby cried so much for breast milk that all the brahmanas were very unhappy. "Who will take care of this baby?" they said. Then Indra, who was worshipped in that yajna, came and solaced the baby. "Do not cry," Indra said. Then Indra put his index finger in the baby's mouth and said, "You may drink me." The verse here it says, "Mam dhata," you know, it says, "You drink me." Text 32. Because Yuvanashva, the father of the baby, was blessed by the Brahmanas, he did not fall a victim to death. After this incident, he performed severe austerities and achieved perfection in that very spot. Mandhata, the son of Yuvanashva, was the cause of fear for Ravana and other thieves and rogues who caused anxiety. O King Parikshit, because they feared him, the son of Yuvanashva was known as Trishadasyu. This name was given by King Indra. By the mercy of Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Yuvanashva was so powerful that when he became emperor, he ruled the entire world, consisting of 7 islands, without any second ruler. Text 35-36. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not different from the auspicious aspects of great sacrifices, such as the ingredients of sacrifice, the chanting of the Vedic hymns, the regulative principles, the performer, the priests, the results of the sacrifice, the arena of sacrifice, and the time of sacrifice. Knowing the principles of self-realization, Mandhata worshipped that transcendentally situated supreme soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, who comprises all the demigods. He also gave immense charity to Brahmanas, and thus he performed yajna to worship the Lord. Text 37. All places from where the sun rises on the horizon, shining brilliantly to where the sun sets, are known as the possessions of the celebrated Mandhata, the son of Yuvanashva. Text 38. Mandhata begot three sons in the womb of Bindumati, the daughter of Shashabindu. And these sons were Purukutsa, Ambarisha, and Muchakunda, a great mystic yogi. These three brothers had 50 sisters who all accepted the great sage Shobari as their husband. Text 39. Shobari Rishi was engaged in austerity deep in the water of river Yamuna, where he saw a pair of fish engaged in sexual affairs. Thus, he perceived the pleasure of sex life, and induced by this desire, he went to King Mandhata and begged for one of the king's daughters. In response to this request, the king said, "O Brahmana, any of my daughters may accept any husband according to her personal selection." Purport: this is the beginning of the story of Shobhari Rishi. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Mandhata was the king of Mathura, and Shobhari Rishi was engaged in austerity while submerged deep within the river Yamuna. When the Rishi felt sexual desire, he emerged from the water and went to King Mandhata to ask that one of the king's daughters become his wife. Indirectly, King Mandhata has told that, "No, I can't tell any of my daughters to marry you. If they select you, they may marry you." So now, Shobhari Rishi is thinking. Shobhari Muni thought, "I am feeble because of my old age. My hair has become gray. My skin is slack. And my head always trembles because I am a yogi. Therefore, women do not like me. Since the king has thus rejected me, I shall reform my body in such a way as to be desirable even to celestial women. What to speak of the daughters of the worldly kings?" Text 43. Thereafter, when Shobhari Muni became quite a young and beautiful person, the messenger of the palace took him inside the residential quarters of the princesses, which were extremely opulent. All the 50 princesses then accepted him as their husband, although he was only one man. Thereafter, the princesses, being attracted by Shobhari Muni, gave up their sisterly relationship and quarreled among themselves, each one of them contending, "This man is just suitable for me and not for you." In this way, there ensued a great disagreement. Text 45 to 46. Because Shobhari Muni was expert in chanting mantras perfectly, his severe austerities resulted in an opulent home with garments, ornaments, properly dressed and decorated maid servants and man servants, and varieties of parks with clear water lakes and gardens. In the gardens, fragrant with varieties of flowers, birds chirped with and bees hummed. Surrounded by professional singers, Shobhari Muni's home was amply provided with valuable beds, seats, ornaments, and arrangements for bathing. And there were varieties of sandalwood creams, flower garlands, and palatable dishes. Thus, surrounded by opulent paraphernalia, the Muni engaged in family affairs with his numerous wives. Purport: Shobhari Rishi was a great yogi. Yogic perfection makes available 8 material opulences: anima, laghima, mahima, prapti, prakamya, ishita, vashita, and Kamavasayita. Shaubari Muni exhibited super excellence in material enjoyment by dint of his yogic perfection. The word Bhavarcha means expert in chanting mantras. As material opulences can be achieved by ordinary material means, it can also be achieved by subtle means through mantras. By chanting mantras, Shaubari Rishi arranged for material opulence, but this was not perfection in life. As will be seen, Shaubari Muni became very dissatisfied with material opulence and thus left everything and re-entered the forest in the Vanaprastha order and achieved final success. Those who are not Atma Tattvavit, who do not know the spiritual value of life, can be satisfied with external material opulences. But those who are Atma Tattvavit are not inspired by material opulence. This is the instruction we can derive from the life and activities of Shaubari Muni. Hare Krishna. Yet again, I am very much embarrassed to speak in front of such an august assembly. I humbly take permission from all my colleagues for being able to speak some sensible words in glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here, there are varieties of topic covered in the verses from 27 to 20 to 46. Basically, as the chapter is mentioned as a downfall of Shaubari Muni, Vishwan Shekhar Thakur, he mentions that whenever there is a downfall of a devotee or a Vaishnava, there is a hidden plan behind that activity that the Lord orchestrates. He says that the Vaishnava is cursed or given material opulence in such a way that the saturation level goes so high that he cannot enjoy that to his fullest extent. Just like once a senior devotee from London, when he mentioned that, you know, once you enter Krishna consciousness, it is like you've entered mafia. Once inside, you can't go outside. So although he has tasted the transcendental pleasure in the meditation, Shaubari Muni, for a small moment, he slipped. And because of that, out of the mode of passion, he went to King Mandhata and asked for one of the daughters to get married. But at the end, Krishna arranged in such a way that so much material opulence that even the heavenly kingdom can envy, you know, such detailed explanation of what kind of opulence is given. You know, nowadays people are so much interested in reading about different mansions of different people. But if we read here, the celestial arrangements done by Shaubari Rishi by dint of his yogic power, there is no match. But again, all the material opulence, as Srila Prabhupada mentions here, those who are Atma Tattvavit, they are never inspired by such material opulence. Finally, they have to resort to taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. You know, in this whole month, we are glorifying Lord Damodar. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the 10th canto that Damodar Leela is definitely the Leela of Mother Yashoda binding Damodar, but that Damodar Leela is mentioned as Damodar Leela only when, as Damodar, Krishna relinquishes or frees the two Yamalarjun trees, which are Nalakuver and Manigriv, the sons of Kuvera. So, although they fell down from their position, Narad Muni cursed him. The chapter mentions where Narad Muni is cursing. It is not that just he mentions the curse and they are turned into trees. He gives them a detailed explanation why he is cursing them. He gives why one who is in bodily concept of life, and although being given so much of opulence and so much of opportunity to perform bhakti, still he is not taking up to Krishna consciousness seriously, then definitely there has to be a stopgap, pause on his bhakti so that he realizes. He takes up a life where he realizes what kind of life he had, and when going back to that life, he'll never revert back to such lowly activities. So Satyavrata Muni, in his beautiful prayer that we are singing, Damodar Ashtakam, in this full month of Kartik, Janmashtami we celebrate one day, but this Damodar Leela, the glorification is done the whole month. You can imagine the importance of this poem. Satyavrata Muni in the Padma Puran, he begins this beautiful poetry describing the glories of Damodar Leela by the first, he says, Namamishwaram Satchidananda Rupam. He says here that, O Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. A standard format of the prayer where first you offer obeisances, you show your lowly position and pray to the Lord who is Satchidananda Rupam. He's saying that you have a beautiful form full of eternity, bliss and knowledge. You are not impersonal. As the yogis are trying to amalgamate in the effulgence of the Lord, but who are you? You have a beautiful form. This beautiful form is glorified in the Vedas as well as the Puranas in choices of words. Bilwa Mangal Thakur, in one of his prayers, he mentions that, what kind of beautiful form, O Lord, you have. As Lord Varahadev, when you appear, the pores in your skin, the skin pores, are so huge that even the oceans can flood that pore and not overflow. But here, you, Lord Krishna, are the source of Lord Varaha, but that same Krishna is given bath with one bucket of water by Mother Yashoda. Such is the super excellent form which cannot be fathomed by people who have unlimited intelligence. Namamishwaram Satchidananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Bhrajamanam. Saying, Lasat Kundalam, you have beautifully shining shark-shaped earrings. What is the importance, or what is the point that Satyavrata Muni is driving here by mentioning the kundal of the Lord? Sanatana Goswami mentions in his Digdarshini Tika that these kundals are so special because they are touching the cheeks of the Lord and they are shining in the realm of Gokula. Why? Because although the ornaments are meant to increase the beauty of a person, but these ornaments have become more beautified just by being adorned on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhushanam Bhushanangam. These Bhushanas have become more beautiful just by touching your beautiful body. And then, why is the mention of Gokula? Sanatana Goswami mentions that this Gokula is special because the Brajbasis stray there. In one of the prayers, Sanatana Goswami mentions that when Krishna, he entered Gokula, he got so bewildered by the love of Brajvasis that Narad Muni had to come and remind him the mission that, you know, Mother Earth has told you to do something. Don't be enamored by their love. The love is so much that they are not concerned about their own well-being. They are only concerned about loving Krishna and protecting Krishna. There are so many instances in the Vrindavan Leela that they have not even once thought about their own comfort. And their full faith in whatever Krishna says, their full meditation is about Krishna's leelas, about Krishna's protection. Whatever may come or whatever may go, but their love for Krishna doesn't budge an inch. So such is the glory of the Vrajvasis. So Satyavrata Muni is including, saying that Gokule Bhrajamanam. Not only that Kundala is shining, but also that beautiful realm is shining with the beautifully shining devotees of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he begins the Damodar Leela. It is said that once on the day of Deepavali, Mother Yashoda, dressed in a beautiful saffron yellow sari, as other maid servants, you know, it is mentioned that a Govardhan Leela happened after a year. So probably all the maid servants were busy in performing the Indra Yajna. So as seeing the other maid servants very busy, Yashoda mother decided that, okay, today I will churn the butter for Krishna. As he is very much used to go and steal butters of others, maybe the quality of my butter is low. So let me personally see. Many times it happens that for the quality control to be checked, the incharge has to go and do it and check it, whether, you know, what is the problem, let's see. So that he understands the nuances of what to be done, what not to be done. Then, as Mother Yashoda is grinding the butter, she's saying, you know, actually in that verse where the word Deepavali is mentioned, Prabhupada mentions in Srimad Bhagavatam that people celebrate Deepavali in a very big way. Especially in Bombay, there are gorgeous celebrations. You know, people celebrate the whole place very nicely. Similarly, Mother Yashoda also, there were many different arrangements that had to be done. Then, Mother Yashoda, as she was churning the butter, she was singing the glories of Krishna. Prabhupada mentions in the purport that if you have to remember something and not forget it, you have to keep, you know, humming it. And to hum that, Mother Yashoda, she you know, turned the whole pastime into a poem. Prabhupada says that a poem, it sticks on to your heart. At the same time as you're singing, you're also remembering. Just like we have the famous saint of Maharashtra, Tukaram Maharaj. Then we have Narottam Das Thakur. And so many different acharyas who have given us different Vaishnava bhajans. All the different philosophy, the difficult philosophy of the Vedas has been simplified, but just by giving us simple poems. The poetic form which is more allurable to the mind. So here, Mother Yashoda is singing beautiful pastimes. Once in San Francisco, when Srila Prabhupada was about to give an interview, everything was set, you know, just like we see, you know, when Anandataya Prabhu and the team, they come to sing. Before starting, you know, there is a lot of mic check, a lot of speaker check. Similarly there, everything was been checked. The equipment, so that, you know, there is no sound, there is no humming sound, there is no earthing sound. But they could hear a hum. And everybody was, you know, the normal people cannot understand. But the technicians, they were wondering, what is this sound? Where is the sound coming from? They tried to find out the sound, where it is coming. They switched off all the mics. They switched off all the equipment. But still that humming was coming. And finally, they saw that the sound was coming from Srila Prabhupada, who was sitting in front of the mic and was chanting. Was humming. It was not loudly chanting, but was humming the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Not only Prabhupada mentioned in that purport that if one has to remember or one has to be Krishna conscious, one has to sing the glories of Krishna 24 hours a day. Then, with a motherly affection, as Mother Yashoda was chanting the beautiful glories of the Lord, you know, it acted as an alarm. As Krishna says, Yatra Gayanti Madhbhakta, Tatra Tishthami Narada. I reside where my devotees glorify me. So just as Mother Yashoda is busy, you know, the kirtan where her bangles are ringing, there is a sound. It was like a very melodious kirtan. She is singing also, there are bangles ringing, and the beautiful weather. So it was a very beautiful environment. And Krishna, as he is hearing the beautiful glories being sung by Yashoda, he got attracted. Vishwanatha Thakur mentions that Lord Krishna in this Damodar Leela has relinquished many of his opulences. And the first opulence that he relinquishes here is the opulence of Atmaram. He is not apurna, or he is not incomplete. So he doesn't have to look for, you know, to fulfill something. But here, just to, you know, that desire of drinking milk from his mother, he comes and asks for milk from his mother, who looks at the beautiful face of the child and lifts him and starts feeding him. Although the mother is, she's looking at the face of the Lord, being satisfied. She's again and again getting, she's getting satisfied by looking at the beautiful form of the Lord. But suddenly she smells, you know, the cooks have a particular sixth sense where whatever is going wrong, just by smell they understand what the ingredients are, what is happening. So similarly here, Mother Yashoda, she understands what is going wrong. Suddenly she realizes that to create beautiful sweets, Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that on the Diwali day, there should be beautiful sweets cooked for the Lord. So Mother Yashoda had arranged for beautiful sweets. You know, the sweets made out of, look, as Nanda Maharaj had 9 lakh cows, out of which 108 cows were special. And out of the 108 cows, the one cow was given special Padmagandha grass and the milk of so many other cows. So that milk was very special and it was boiling. So Mother Yashoda, she was on crossroads where she didn't know what to do. Should I leave the child and go to the kitchen where the milk is going to boil out and on overflow? So at that time, you know, Prabhupada mentions that Krishna gives a devotee the intuition, because where there is transcendental love, the devotee has to prioritize from one duty to another, and that intuition is given by Krishna. So here Krishna gave her intuition that she thought that, okay, my milk I can give him later, but this milk, if it overflows, will be of no use. You know, there's the pastime of Ramanujacharya that one of his servants used to serve him by boiling milk. So once, as the Ranganath's procession came out of the house, Ramanujacharya rushed out to take the darshan and called his servant. So servant said that, by you going out, you are serving your Lord. But me going out, I have been performing a disservice to my Lord, who is my spiritual master. So my service is more important to me. So here, Yashoda Maiya, she chose to serve Krishna by making delicious sweets for him. After Yashoda Maiya kept Krishna down and went running to the kitchen, Krishna here became very dissatisfied, and thus he relinquished the second opulence of being aptakam. He is satisfied by very little. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta prayachati tadaham bhakti upaharitam ashnami pratatmana. Saying that with little I am satisfied. But here, although Mother Yashoda provided him so much milk, but he was not satisfied. He wanted more. And thus he satisfied his opulence, as the Vedas and the Shrutis, they glorify him as, you are aptakam, with little you are satisfied. We know of that pastime where he satisfied the 60,000 disciples of Durvasa Muni by, you know, one grain that Draupadi gave her. Draupadi gave him. He scraped out that one grain, and by eating that grain, all the 60,000 disciples of Durvasa Muni were satisfied. Then the second opulence that he relinquishes is, he's called as Trigunatita. He never leaves his sobriety. Shaubari Muni kicked him, but he never became angry. Rather, in return, he asked that, did I hurt your feet? In Ramayana, Lord Ram, as he got up one morning and saw that the whole city is performing celebrations, and he heard the rumors that Lord and King Dashrata is going to coronate him as the king. So he didn't get affected. He went to his father to see, because he heard that father had called him in his chambers. So he went there. Already the whole praja of Ayodhya were glorifying him as the king, but he didn't get affected. When he went there, he met Dasharatha Maharaj. At that time, because of bad fortune, Mother Kaikeyi, she explained to him that how he has to go for vanvas for 14 years. Not an inch of dissatisfaction or not an inch of agitation was seen on the face of the Lord. He accepted it as a benediction and told Mother Kaikeyi that thank you, as you know, after becoming a king, I might not spend much time with Mother Sita. So now you have given me much time to spend with her, the 14 long years. So here we see that Lord Ram was not at all affected. But Lord Krishna, with a, you know, she did not, Mother Yashoda did not perform an activity of kicking him, or nor did not she take away, you know, she just took a little bit of milk away from him, not the kingdom. But still he became so dissatisfied. So here he is relinquishing the opulence of being Trigunatita. Then he started what he did in his anger. The fourth opulence is he became dissatisfied. And the fourth opulence which he relinquished is, sorry, the Trigunatita, which is leaving, he came under the mode of passion. You know, he took a stone and he broke the pot. The very pot in which Mother Yashoda was churning beautiful butter for him. And then, out of fear, he ran into another chamber where he started taking yogurt and butter to distribute to monkeys. It is said that when Mother Yashoda, she came back, she understood that nobody else can do it but Krishna. So she followed the footsteps of Krishna and she went behind, and slowly she was approaching. Lord Krishna, as being very naughty, he understood that I'll feed the monkey, and when, because the monkeys, as soon as Mother Yashoda will come, they'll disperse. So I'll understand she's come to catch me and I'll run away. So same thing happened. As Mother Yashoda was cautiously approaching Lord Krishna, slowly, slowly, the monkeys saw and they dispersed. And Lord Krishna, who had turned the ukhal, or the grinding mortar used for grinding spices, upside down and use that to climb and take out the pot of butter, he jumped from it and started running. So Mother Yashoda started running behind the Supreme Lord. Here Lord Krishna is relinquishing his one more opulence of being Lakshmipati. He is Lakshmipati, he is the master of the goddess of fortune. There is no dearth of opulence for him. But here, he is not afraid of being called as Makhan Chor. Rather, Shukdev Goswami, in one of his verses, he mentions that he is smiling broadly as he is, you know, smiling broadly in his Leela, saying that, you know, although you might steal something, and the whole world, if they say that you are a chore, you know, you'll be offended. But here, you call me Makhan Chor, I have no problems. This is my Leela, which I do to give pleasure to my devotees. And is broadly smiling. So, then, this beautiful pastime, it goes further where Mother Yashoda is running behind the Makhan Chor. Many of the singers or professional singers, although they are singing the different leelas of Makhan Chor, they have become Lakshmipati. They have become Lakshmivan rather. Singing the glories of the Makhan Chor, they have become Lakshmivan. Then, as the Damodarashtakam goes, Yashoda biyolu khala dhavamanam paramrishta matyanta to dritya gopya. Then, he also relinquishes the opulence of not being caught by anybody. Dritya Gopyash, he allowed Mother Yashoda, who's although very heavy, as Srimad Bhagavatam mentions and describes the features of Mother Yashoda, that she was very heavy in feature. Although she is running, Lord allowed her to surpass or overtake him in speed. Although so many yogis, karmis and gyanis are trying to meditate and catch panthastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayo rathabhi manaso munipungavanam sopyasti yat prabhadasinme vichinte tatve govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So many yogis, by the speed of mind, they are trying to catch the beautiful feature of the Lord as Paramatma in the heart, but still they are not able to catch even the toenail of the Lord. Such is the opulence of the Lord. But here, not only Mother Yashoda, she goes ahead, but also catches the Lord. So here, the Lord relinquishes the opulence of not being caught by anybody. Prabhupada mentions in the purport that for yogis, they cannot catch the Lord. They must, you know, he mentions this, they must remain far, far away from him. But for bhaktas, he is already caught. Such is the beauty of the bhaktavatsalya of the Lord. Then, as she's catching him, the verses mention that after his mother leaves him and goes ahead, he becomes very angry and he has false tears in his eyes. But now, after the mother has caught him, as she has a stick in the hand, he becomes fearful. So many people might question that what kind of, Lord is this, that he is, becoming fearful of somebody? Our fears, he relinquishes, Kapil Muni says that anybody who has ocean of fears, once if he meditates on the smile of the Lord, it dries up. It evaporates. But here the Lord himself is fearful. So it is mentioned that the Lord's mercy, it comes in very incalculable ways. We many times might want the Lord to reciprocate with us in different ways. But the Lord reciprocates in totally different ways which we cannot even fathom. Here, not only the Lord allowed his mother to catch him, he is fearful of her. Yad bibheti swayam bhayam. Bhagavatam says that the fear personified is fearful of him. But here, he is fearful of his own mother. And then, also, he allows her to bind him. And that binding leela is also a beautiful scene. As she is binding him, the first rope she takes, it becomes two fingers too short. So she's wondering, what is happening? Again, she binds one more thread to it, one more rope, and again, that becomes too short. So here, Krishna also is mentioning that although you might love me, but that does not mean you can bind me. So still he wants to play with his mother. So Vishwanatha Thakur mentions that it was like a festival of ropes. Mother Yashoda got so many ropes of different colors from so many corners that it became a rope festival. The whole courtyard of Nanda Maharaj was full of ropes. Now, a very significant point to mention that once Srila Prabhupada was and Tamalakrishna Maharaj, they were walking on the Juhu beach. And Tamalakrishna Maharaj, he saw something golden, and Prabhupada saw something golden in the sea, and he told Tamalakrishna, can you see something there? Get that. And Tamalakrishna Maharaj, he ran into the sea and found out that it was a beautiful deity of Krishna. And this deity was next day in the newspapers, it was everywhere that, a Hare Krishna devotee finds a deity in the ocean. And this deity was a famous deity where Radharani was given by the Queen of Jaipur. And it came to be known as Radha Damodar because in the bus party, they were tied by ropes. So, when we worship Radha Damodar in a whole month, why is this Radha Damodar mentioned? It is said that in this rope festival, where nothing was helping, Mother Yashoda turned to Srimati Radharani and asked her that, help me in tying Krishna. So, when she gave a rope from her side, that is the time when Krishna agreed to be bound. Also, Acharya has mentioned that Looking at the fatigue and the perspiration on the face of Mother Yashoda, finally Krishna said, okay, fine, I'm ready. No, iti drik svalila, no, rudantam muhur netram yugmam mrijantam, karam bhoja yugamena saatanka netram, muhushvasa kampa trirekhanka kantha, sthita greva damodaram bhakti baddham. By the beautiful devotion of Mother Yashoda, Lord Krishna, who showed so many symptoms of fear, his neck was trembling, his pearl strings, they were trembling, his eyes were full of atank. You know, atank is fear raised to infinity, you know. She was looking at Mother Yashoda like what she'll do and what she'll not. So here, Mother, you know, Lord Krishna, he relinquishes the opulence of being fearful to everybody. Just, I'm also fearful to my mother. Then, not only that, after the whole rope festival, she ties him. So here, although the Lord is called as Muktaya, who's free. So he relinquishes one more opulence that he is free and nobody can bind him. And Mother Yashoda here is binding Lord Krishna. Then, the last opulence, or last in this series, is he is Mukunda, one who gives liberation to Muchukunda. But Lord Krishna does not make any effort to loosen himself, although he can. But he wants to always remain in the, you know, ropes of his mother, or the mother's devotion. That verse from Chauragragana Ashtakam, where he says, where Bilva Mangal Thakur says that you can relinquish any Chindanti Ghoram Yamapashabandham. He's saying that you can relinquish any Yamapash, you can relinquish Bhavapash, but you cannot relinquish this Bhakti Pash that I've put to you. And I'm sure that you'll not go anywhere, because you will voluntarily not leave this. So here the Lord is relinquishing the opulence of being, giving mukti to others. That is Mukunda. So, I'll just recapitulate how many opulences we mentioned. First, the Lord gave up the opulence of being Atmaram. He wanted the milk from his mother. Then second, Aptakam. Although he is always satisfied with little, but the little bit milk of his mother, he was not satisfied. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai. He wanted more milk. Then he relinquished the opulence of being Trigunatita. He became angry. Then being Lakshmipati, he was not fearful of being called as Makhanchor. And then he was caught by Mother Yashoda, although he is never been caught by anybody. Then he was, although he is fearful to everybody, he became fearful of Mother Yashoda. And the seventh one is Muktaya, never being bound, but was bound by Mother Yashoda. And the last one, he is Mukunda, although he is free, or he can free himself, others, but he did not endeavor. One last point, where in the seventh verse, Kuberatmajo Baddha Murteva Yadvat, Lord Krishna is giving a very powerful message where he is saying that although I am in a bound position, being in bound position, I have relinquished, or I have delivered the two Yamala Arjun trees. So don't be afraid, but spread the message I have given, which is equally powerful like me and which can deliver so many different people. Although you might not be powerful, you might be bound by your own vices, by your own bad habits, by your own anarthas. But take shelter of my message, which is equally powerful to relinquish others' bondages. Thank you very much. On this beautiful occasion of Kartik Mas, it's a prayer to the lotus feet of Radha Damodar that let us all be defeated by his love and his devotees' love, so that we can eternally play in the waters of bhakti. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sorry, it has been late. will not be able to take questions. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande Harivo, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki.